Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. One of the most interesting and, to some, surprising results in this fall's elections took place in North Carolina's newly created 13th Congressional District, where Democratic State Senator Wiley Nickel defeated a former NC State football player and Donald Trump loyalist named Beau Hines. Nickel's narrow victory in what was one of the state's most evenly divided districts has been heralded across the country as another example of Trump's waning influence and the desire of a growing number of voters to leave the former president's divisive tactics behind. Earlier this week, I caught up with Nickel in Washington as he attended orientation events for his new position, and as he told me, he shares the hope that his election is a harbinger of a better and more productive brand of politics in Congress. Well, Congressman-elect Wiley Nickel, welcome to News and Views. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, congratulations, first off. Wow, what's the last week since your victory been like? And how did you avoid being the victim of, I don't know, the red ripple or the red wave, whatever we're calling it, and defeat a very high-profile Trump-backed candidate? What made it work for you?
First of all, I am so excited to be here in Washington, getting my office set up and being part of the transition. We just had our freshman class photo today on the steps of the Capitol. It is just amazing to be here. But it was a great win. It was a great win for democracy, you know, for a woman's right to choose. Those were issues that we campaigned on. You know, and we got to send a message with our win. We beat a far-right extremist, and the voters in the 13th district, you know, made their voices heard loud and clear when they said, you know, we don't want a far-right extremist representing us. And so now I'm going to Washington, doing all I can to work for every single person in this district, Republicans, Democrats, and independents, who sent me here to be their voice in Washington.
You know, one thing I was struck by, I think a lot of observers were struck by the fact that North Carolina has actually, at least for now, got a 7-7 breakdown in its congressional delegation, which reflects that we're a 50-50 state, basically, a purple state, Republicans and Democrats pretty evenly divided. Does this show what we might actually get if we had fair districts and didn't have gerrymandering all the time, maybe in our legislature?
This district is what every single district in the country should look like. And if getting fair maps is so important for democracy. And our courts, you know, drew fair maps here. My district was literally the middle seat out of 435. It was exactly in the middle. And, you know, it reflected the will of the people. It was a close election, but, you know, we campaigned on the issues and we got to send a message. You know, if you're too far to the left or too far to the right, you're not going to win a seat like this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's what all districts should look like. And one of the biggest problems in our country is we have these so many districts that are so far to the left and so far to the right. It's hard to find folks in Washington willing to work across the aisle to do what's right, accomplish things in a bipartisan way. That's my task. That's what I'm focusing on here in orientation. And I'm very encouraged. You know, I think one of the things that obviously is the big question is what's going to happen with the election. We still don't know 100% yet who's going to be in control of the House. But even if it is the Republicans and it's a very narrow majority, we're going to be able to get a lot done with Democratic-controlled Senate and a Democratic-controlled White House. So I'm very optimistic.
I was going to ask, I know you've really tried to emphasize your work as a state senator, trying to find common ground as a state lawmaker in your campaign. You've talked a lot about it. Are there specific areas where, I mean, we're a very divided country these days, but I wonder if there are specific areas that really you feel some sense of optimism. Hey, man, we can work on these things and get them done and maybe even work across the aisle.
You know, I'm starting with the things that matter in this district. So I should be joining the Ag Committee. You know, a lot of things we can do with the Farm Bill. That's typically a very bipartisan bill, major piece of legislation that comes across it every 5 years. So when we talk about crop insurance, we talk about helping make farming more profitable for farmers. Those are things I think we can find some good agreement on. And you know, of course, I'm, you know, committed to doing all we can to reduce the deficit and the debt. Those are things that I think are important as part of the inflation conversation. And I'm hoping that we can make some real progress there.
I was going to ask about committees that you were hoping to serve on. Ag seems like a natural and an important one. One issue I know that's been some debate in agricultural circles is sort of what we're doing to combat the climate emergency. I trust that's another area maybe where at least we hope we can find some modicum of common ground to move forward, even when it comes to farming.
I hope so. You know, you talk to any farmer and You know, they'll tell you that the climate is changing. It impacts the crops that they grow and everything about, you know, farming. The yields, if it's too hot, you know, your yields are going to go down. So critically important for our country that we do all we can to invest in green jobs, green energy. And the Inflation Reduction Act did some good things to move us in the right direction on energy independence.
You said that Ag Committee looks like a likely committee. I frankly don't know enough. And probably a lot of our listeners don't know. Will there be other committee assignments you'll seek, or do you just get one committee? How does that work once you find your way to the Capitol?
As a freshman in Congress, usually you get two committees, sometimes three. So transportation and infrastructure is another one. You know, we passed a once-in-a-generation infrastructure bill, you know, having the ability to work on how we spend that money, how we supervise the spending that's going to be happening for years now to invest in transportation and, you know, physical infrastructure. That means a lot in what we believe is the fastest growing congressional district in the country. Tons of growth. You know, I'm going to be focused on doing all I can to help make sure we bring back those transportation dollars for North Carolina.
We're talking with Congressman-elect Wiley Nickel of the North Carolina's 13th District, who's gone through a whirlwind during the last week, going from a candidate stumping at the polling places to already in Washington getting his orientation. Are there other specific things you really have in mind that really stand out for the 13th District? We are such a fast-growing area. We've got a lot of transportation needs. As you said, there's still a lot of agriculture in your district. Are there things that you really hope sort of to bring home the bacon, things you'd really like to see that we could use in the 13th district in over the next couple of years?
You know, we need to continue talking about rural broadband. You know, that's an issue that, you know, we've made some good progress, but we need to do a lot more. You go to parts of this district and you'll have students who have to go to McDonald's to do their homework in the parking lot using the Wi-Fi. So we need to continue connecting North Carolina, and the federal government can play a very big role in helping make that happen.
Now, I know you won't officially be, I take it the beginning of January, right, is when y'all are sworn in to your seat. But there, I presume we're going to have action in the lame duck Congress in the next month. And that's something I presume you'll be watching very carefully. Are there hopes and expectations for what might be taking place in the coming weeks? There's some pretty high profile issues out there. There's been talk of action on abortion rights and Respect for Marriage Act. Are any of those things, do you think, likely to be taken up? What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, no, you know, I'm already in meetings with my soon-to-be colleagues and have been part of those meetings this week. I just heard that the Senate, you know, will be taking up marriage equality. That's important. And something that we campaigned on in a 50-50 mm-hmm. district, which I was very proud of. You know, we did an ad. We talked about a woman's right to choose, the right to contraception, and the right to marry who you love. So those are issues that I think it's important to point out that in a 50-50 district, you know, when you've got 70-80% of the country who supports things like that, you know, supports marriage equality, it's a wedge issue. It's an issue we campaign on. So, but I think we're going to see a vote in the Senate, which I'm very encouraged to hear. But I think a lot of the rest, you know, folks are still trying to see what the final results are in this election before they decide what really needs to be a focus this year versus next year.
As we record this, we're preparing on the day that we record this to hear former President Trump gear up for his third campaign for the White House. So I wonder if you have any thoughts on how his presence and sort of the lingering shadow of January 6th, the insurrection, what that means for our democracy, and maybe your hopes and concerns in that realm.
I'm just going to sigh. That's the best I can give you. You know, the voters in this district and around the country, I think it made it clear that they want people in Washington who go to change the tone. And the attacks on our democracy by MAGA extremists and so many of the people who towed that line, you see so many who were rejected across the country. And, you know, I'm hopeful that, you know, pro-democracy Republicans and independents will continue to make their voice heard on who comes to Washington. My opponent was an election denier. He lost. And I think that's an important message. So I'll say I'm more focused on the things I can do in Washington to pass laws rather than who may be running for office in a Republican primary.
I should point out that presumably the new speaker, Kevin McCarthy, will still have his hands full. He's going to have at least a handful of election deniers in his own delegation or his own caucus. Do you have any thoughts on what that means for Congress? Are you hopeful maybe that that will not be too much of a disruption to getting work done in 2023?
I mean, I'm really just focused on things that we can do that can pass the House and the Senate and get signed by the president. You know, and, you know, if Republicans want to go off on crazy tangents and pass bills that have no chance of becoming law, you know, they can do that. But I'm focusing my time on working with, you know, Democrats and Republicans who want to move bills and do things to help folks. So you hear so much on the, you know, in the news often about the far left, the far right. Mm-hmm. You know, but I'm just more interested in talking about the things that we can really do. And I'm encouraged by the Republicans that I've met already in this freshman class. There are certainly some out there that want to work across the aisle and do some good things for the country. And that's been my focus.
That's very encouraging. I guess the final question as we come to the end of our time with Congressman-elect Wiley Nickel is, I hate to bring it up, but there's this whole thing of redistricting lingering out there again. Are you have any concerns or any indication of what might could happen? Could there be another redrawing of congressional districts in North Carolina? Could that affect the 13th district? Or are you hopeful maybe that we've seen the last of that for a while?
I've heard talk about new maps for the congressional maps. Number one, I think we have to say these are very fair maps. These are maps that it's what, you know, a map should look like. You know, we are a 50-50 state. We elected 7 Democrats, 7 Republicans. I won by 2 points. Right. You know, that's what you want. I look at Wake County. We've had a ton of population growth. I think we're going to have, even in a gerrymandered a district I can run for. But, you know, for now, I'm just focused on getting to work. And I'm hopeful that we'll continue to have fair maps in North Carolina. But I can tell you, one of the bills that I'm so passionate about is getting a nonpartisan independent redistricting commission set up for the entire country. That's what the majority of the public wants. They want fair maps, and we got to keep pushing on this issue.
Now, we wish you the best of luck there. And on all these objectives you've outlined, it sounds like a perfectly logical approach to serving in our Congress. We thank you for your service, both as a state senator and for your impending service as a member of Congress. We wish you nothing but the best. Good luck. Stay safe. And I presume there'll be a website very soon that people will be able to check out to in the U.S. House to learn more about how you can be of service to them.
Absolutely. January 3rd, it goes live as soon as I get sworn in.
All right. Take care. Thanks so much, Congressman. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much.
Coming up next, a broader look at the election results with one of our state's top political scientists. Don't go away.